Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. I'm so glad you joined me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled The Sin of Opposing God. And we've been looking at 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, an experience in the life of Saul when he was specifically commanded by the prophet Samuel to utterly destroy the Amalekites, and he did not fulfill that express, clear command. And the prophet Samuel rebuked him and said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. And so we've been looking at this very serious character flaw, this very serious attitude of heart and stubbornness of will that refuses to yield to truth. Beloved, there's only truth and error. In this modern world we live in, there's no compass, there's no true north. It's like there's no moral standpoint anymore of judging righteousness or unrighteousness. All holds are barred. Anything goes. But in God's world, things are very clear. There's truth and there's error. There's godliness and there's sin. There's righteousness and unrighteousness. And so, beloved, we have to understand when we stiffen our neck and refuse to do what God asked us to do, there are consequences. Look at the book of Jonah, for example. Jonah was unquestionably a prophet of God. He gave him a commission, but Jonah didn't want to do it. So he went in the opposite direction. You know the story. He got swallowed by a great fish, and he was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights, and eventually that experience taught him that it's probably a good idea to obey the Lord. So he did end up going to Nineveh, where God directed him immediately. And that's true in all of our lives, beloved. God knows how to tighten the screws so that we'll finally be willing to say, yes, Lord. But beloved, we can save ourselves all kinds of heartache if we will just follow the Lord with a loving, surrendered heart and a yielded spirit. As I shared, Proverbs 21 and 1, that's a serious warning. He that is often reproved, who hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy, or be cut off, and that without remedy. And so we've been looking at the consequences of stubbornness. First of all, when a person is stubborn, they align themselves with the enemy. For the unsaved, that's exactly where they are. They may not even realize it, but that's where they're in the enemy's camp. But for a Christian to not submit to God's will. Let's look at Saul. I mean, that's a very powerful example in God's word. He was the first king of Israel. God's anointing was on him. In fact, David would not put his hand against King Saul because he called him, and he was the very anointed of God. And so he had a tremendous position and privilege that he was given. In fact, that's how Samuel rebukes him, because he was least among his father's house, and God brought him out, anointed him king, and gave him great position of popularity. But when it came down to it, his heart was not fully committed to the Lord as David's was. And so what are the dangers, the consequences of stubbornness? Alignment with the enemy, dangers of God's judgment. At one point in time, God will lift his mercy and long-suffering. He alone knows the heart. He alone knows what it will take. You know, sometimes people think, oh, well, they read the Bible, unsaved people, or they hear about what the Israelites were commanded to do to go into the land of Canaan, and utterly destroy all the Canaanites, not to intermarry with them. Of course, they didn't do that and suffer the consequences. There was idolatry. That was the very thing God was trying to prevent happen. They intermarried with their wives, just like the wisest man on earth, Solomon. His heart was turned away from God. He served other gods because of his wives, his foreign wives. And so, beloved, God knew what he was doing by having those nations to be given a command to have them be utterly destroyed. But listen to this. This is something you might not think about, that God had been dealing with them for a very long time. At one point, and I don't even know where it is, but it says the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And don't you know that God deals with every heart? Even in Babylon, look at in Jericho. That was a wicked city. But look at Rahab. She turned her heart toward God, and she's mentioned in the Bible because of her willingness to hide the spies, and from her lineage, Jesus comes. My goodness, look at Ruth, a Moabitess. She was brought into the family of God. So God, there's a lot we may not understand until we're actually with the Lord, but God was dealing with those wicked nations, and there must have been some that were willing, although look at Sodom and Gomorrah. There was only Lot and his family that were righteous, and even his sons refused to go, and they were destroyed. So God is not willing that any should perish. He's a loving God. He's a good God, but he will not tolerate sin. And so what I want us to look at is another very serious consequence of stubbornness. And we see this in the life of Saul, that his failure to obey God's express command denied his part in God's plan for his generation. It's not only personal loss, beloved, but a corporate picture that has to be considered. Listen to the amazing statement that Samuel made to Saul in 1 Samuel 13:13. He comes to Saul, and Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Do you hear that, beloved? Saul had an opportunity for his line, his descendants, to be established as the royal family in Israel. But he lost out because of his disobedience, and because we know that God had already another one in the wings, and that was David. But also, I want you to understand something more important than that. I want you to understand things from God's perspective, all right? Let's go to Genesis, the 36th chapter, and I want you to hang with me, stay with me, because we need to follow this timeline. We want to step out of the immediate situation of Saul's lifetime and look back at the history of Israel. I want to go to Genesis, the 36th chapter, verse 12, and here we read that Timnah was the concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son. Do you remember Esau, the sons of Isaac? They're Jacob he loved, Esau he hated. Why? Because he knew his heart. He despised his birthright. But let me go on and read again. Eliphaz was Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These are the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. And so Amalek was directly from the bloodline of Esau. Now let's go to Exodus, the 17th chapter. And I want to start reading. Well, let me start reading at verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. If you recall that passage in Exodus, Moses stood with his hands out and Aaron and Hur supported them. And it says that they fought all day until the going down of the sun. And Joshua had victory over Amalek. with a sword. But listen to this. This is the Lord's comment. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. This was Israel's first battle, beloved, that I just shared with you. And then, if you recall, in the book of Numbers, from Chapter 27, verse 20, this was Balaam's prophecy, and as he was prophesying over Israel, he said, and when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he shall perish forever. And remember in Judges, Gideon, in Judges 6, the 33rd verse, Gideon fought the Midianites who were allied with the Amalekites. And in Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter, verses, this is really powerful, verses 17 through 19, I'd like to read what the Lord said. He said, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. You see, he wanted them to remember, but you know what? God did not forget. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary and feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. Do you see this timeline going back to the time of Moses? That's why it was so serious that Saul disobeyed God. All right, well, my time has just come to an end, and we're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I do pray and hope that you can be with me as we continue to flush out these concepts of the seriousness of the sin of opposing God. Thank you so much for listening. And listen, if you have prayer requests, do write. The announcer will give our contact information. Please know that I love you. UCM Partners, what a blessing you are. I'm so grateful to God for you. You're my spiritual family. Beloved, until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.